Welcome to Urban Lifestyle Cafe, episode 14. Michael, and I'm here with my wife, Alicia.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, babe. Today we are talking about the very uplifting, empowering movie, Hidden Figures.
Yes,
it was not amazing. Not Hitting Fences. search the internet, Golden Globes.
Jenna Bush, that was wrong with you, girl. Yeah. She was
so this is pretty much the headline storyline. These 3 billion African American women at NASA, Katherine Johnson, Dorothy Vaughan, and Mary Jackson serves as the brains behind one of the greatest operations in history, the launch of astronaut John Glenn into orbit, a stunning achievement that restored the nation's confidence and turned around the space race and galvanized the world. So that's pretty much what they put out to see what it is. But there is so much more to this movie that we had to stop and talk about. And for my wife, Alicia, was a coding engineer and a big advocate for STEM for women.
Yes, I am.
This was a must-see movie.
Yes, it was. It was not to disappoint. It wasn't.
So this movie for me, I wanted to see because we don't have enough intelligent movies out there other than smash, bang, sci-fi, or about a bunch of white males going into space and Apollo 13, a couple of other things. So to see something that was true with African-American females, I was excited to see. I was kind of nervous because in the way they kind of portray women a lot of times is this gentle, oh, I'm just going to be accommodating and I'm just going to make you look like a hero, but I'm just going to downplay you. And luckily and happily, that's not what this movie was about.
No, it really was very, very emotional for me. I mean, you know, watching it, I could so relate to the women in so many different ways. I see some of it in me and so many other women that I have dealt with within the tech community. But it was just amazing to know that NASA has these hidden figures, these hidden women, these human computers there that a lot of people just really don't even know about. I mean, the word human computers is one of those things that people think that this is a weird name to be calling women sitting behind a desk calculating numbers to make a spaceship fly.
So the thing is, it wasn't said. So this was something human computers, not even in the white society, we haven't heard that. So I'm not sure if this was a label put upon African-Americans during that time or just people in general. But looking at this movie, it made you think through what else was going on.
Right.
You know, and I guess the most disappointing thing in this movie was the fact that we never heard anything about these women.
Right.
That was the most disappointing thing about this movie, that it was shameful that these women were never recognized prior to this movie. Now, they could have been in Virginia. It could have been on a low-key thing with NASA. But this is an extraordinary movie that was true. And if it wasn't for these mathematical genius and women to do these calculations so they can race against time with the Russians, we wouldn't have been able to compete.
No.
And these women, and this is only three of many, they only highlighted the three women because They didn't have that much time, and they made history in three different ways.
Yeah, they made history.
But the main character, Katherine Johnson, was a really, really, she was an extraordinary woman.
Oh, my God.
She was a genius. She was basically a child prodigy. And that's what the story starts off at, which was phenomenal.
Yeah, I mean, as a young child, she was able to, you know, do math, no numbers. I mean, she was she was amazing. You could tell she was a nerd. She was a true, in the movie, she was a nerd. But a person that was not respected amongst the group of men that she was working with.
So the thing is, and, you know, for those who haven't seen the movie, these African-American women were segregated on the base at NASA. They was a whole section separated, and all they did was they was assigned to projects. As soon as the project was over, they'd just go back to this little dungeon area where all the African-American women were. So that showed that they were used for certain things, but they wasn't actually part of the true project. But, you know, if you know history, it was who was going to put the first satellite into space.
Right.
Who would put the first man trip to space? And Russia beat us with Sputnik. And the next thing was, we're spending all of this money and all of this time to be the leader of the world, and we were behind. And there's a lot of money in NASA and the space program, especially with
back in
Kennedy.
That time. Yep.
And the Kennedy, said, we will be the first to put a man on the moon, but you got to first get him in space.
Right.
And it's all about calculations. It's all about getting that math together in order to make that trajectory correct.
Another thing is that NASA was on a mission. And they were on a mission to get, like you said, to get that first man in space. And so even though, you know, you've seen the discrimination within NASA, they were like, we don't care. Well, if they can fix it, I don't care. It was all about whatever you could do to fix it, we need you.
But the good thing was, you know, they didn't try to hide it.
No.
So, again, Virginia is the Commonwealth. And, you know, they had laws to say, you know, blacks can't do this and blacks can't do this.
Yeah.
And pretty much a lot of segregation laws. And what they wanted to show you was, despite all of that, they needed these women.
Yeah.
They actually needed them.
And it was, in the movie, they did emphasize it was a Commonwealth. And we have our own laws, and we are different from the other states. And that was, you know, really interesting, too, because, I'm glad you said that, because it did actually have an effect on the fact that NASA was in Virginia.
Yeah. So, I mean, and the thing is, when you're looking at this, when you're seeing this movie, and you can pluck out what you've seen from other movies or what was in the history books, but then when you see this movie, you see that there was a lot of other people that were actually there that participated in it that never received the credit that they deserve.
Yeah.
And this was amazing. This was very amazing. So,
with NASA, everything was top secret. So even, I can understand the reason why, I can see why the reason these women were not being acknowledged.
They were black.
But there wasn't white women being acknowledged either.
Because they were women.
Right. But also, like I said, NASA, everything was a secret at NASA.
Because white men are the privileged few, and that's what it always has been. I mean, I'll go back to what I said earlier. If you see any of the movies about any other space flight or whatever, it's male-dominated.
Yeah, but you're talking about astronauts. Of course they're going to acknowledge the astronauts.
And then when you turn around and then you go to Houston and Fort Lauderdale and all of those, there were no women there.
Okay.
Now, if they would have painted a picture and say, well, there's a black person right here and a black person. They didn't really do that because they didn't have to. During that time of segregation, this was back in. So understand the state of things, equality and civil rights wasn't equal. And if you're in the South, That's not really what it was going to be.
But I mean, overall, you don't never see them acknowledge the people behind the spaceship going up. The when things went bad,
right?
You never, you don't, you know, those people were, you know, even whether white, black, whatever, they're the heroes, but they never got acknowledged.
NASA
always acknowledged the astronauts.
Well, they also acknowledged the people who helped them to get down. I mean, because even in Apollo, they actually helped the astronauts to get back. They helped them to get to everything that they needed to do to get back. But here, they couldn't even get into space if it wasn't for these women. So even though John Glenn went up and they celebrated him and all of that, he would not have been able to get there if it wasn't for these black women, and particularly Katherine Johnson. Because, I mean, I even looked it up to see Glenn's interaction with these women. And when he said, I want Katherine, or I want that girl to check my numbers to make sure it's right, because I'm not going to depend on a computer. He actually said, get that girl to check these numbers before I go anywhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, it may seem like, that's just hyperbole or hyperbole or whatever, but it wasn't. This guy knew that this woman was amazing when it came to numbers, and if they had a discrepancy, he was like, I want that woman to do it.
And that was interesting because, you know, with the, you sent me that information, I'm glad. Was the fact that was a lot of that part of the story true? You know, did Glenn, John Glenn acknowledge him? He did. You know, did she, did he actually know who she was? He did.
Yep.
So those were things that I was like really, really impressed with the fact. I'm like, you know, I don't know if, I don't even think that John Glenn ever got to see the movie before he passed away.
Yeah, so that was interesting, too, because he just passed away, in December? I think December 8th.
Yes.
So it was filmed and it was all ready. So most likely, I mean, you know, I don't know his publicist or whatever to get him to see it, but most people who's portrayed in the movie
get to see it before.
Get to see it. And in part of the movie, what we read was, you know, the character that Costner played was not a character. It was a combination of people.
Of several characters because
they could not get the one person to acknowledge and say, yes, that was me, and you can use, you know, me.
Right, right.
So they had to make up a person, you know, and that's what Hollywood does in order to either glamorize or make it a little more exciting, or if they don't get the rights to using these people, they have to make up people with situations to actually accommodate that.
Right, because they said it was like three different directors at NASA, and they had to do the combination of all because they hadn't got approval from
those people. Yeah, those characters.
So they had to move fast on it.
And what else was interesting was through the movie you see these three women as friends and they was coming up together, but in reality, I think, you know, Dorothy Vaughn, who was the first supervisor, she was a supervisor before Katherine Johnson got there.
Yes.
But in order to make, you know, the movies exciting, it was like these three women were doing it together at once and they were struggling together.
Right.
It made it exciting, but it didn't make it untrue.
Right.
But the fact that she became the first African-American woman supervisor there.
At NASA.
NASA was right. It was correct. The timing, you know, they took liberty there. Also, Mary Jackson, who became the first African-American engineer at NASA.
Yes.
That was a true thing.
Yeah.
Was it timed during that same time? Maybe not either. But again, this was a movie depicting, you know, some major accomplishments by women, as well as African-American women. So you see even in the movie, the white women really looked at them and said, wow, you know, pushed us more than I thought we can ever go.
Because Dorothy Vaughn, she was amazing.
Yeah. Exactly.
She was one smart ass cookie. I swear, that woman's like, oh, we're still temps, okay, and you don't want to give me a supervisor position, all right? All right, so I'm gonna do something to make sure our job is secure.
No, but she found out first. What is that stuff being put into that room? She needed to find out, like, you know, they wasn't gonna tell us. You know, you saw that, you know, NASA, like you said earlier, Alicia, NASA keeps things secret until they're ready to reveal it.
Yeah.
So, you know, they had no reason to tell these black women there. They had no reason.
But
she was smart enough mm-hmm. to say, what's going on down there? Well, those are the computers that will IBM. Be able to do it faster than your people.
Yep.
And blah, blah, blah.
And, you know, that means that we'll be out of a job soon.
And she's like, oh, okay. we'll figure something out. But listening to that, you know they were disposable. So she said, what is the better way of trying to find a place for us? And she was smart enough to say, I'm going to learn these computers whether they like me or want me to or not. So she made not only herself but her group valuable without even letting anybody know what she was doing.
She sure did.
And since she had a mechanical background, which was really cool, you see that from the beginning when she was fixing a car, but she had a mechanical background as well as mathematical, she was able to learn the IBM system better than the guys that was actually there trying to get it set up.
And now, you know what? I love that you mentioned the fact that, because you know, there was little parts of there that you didn't quite understand. She could fix a goddamn car. I was like, she's like, oh no, it has to be the alternator. And I'm like, she went in there and just click, click, click. And the, I mean,
it was a starter.
Yep, it was a starter.
And,
yeah.
And she was like, this is all I need to do, but we're good to go, sir. You know, when they was pulled over. But the thing is, you know, these women did what they needed to do with the skills that they had in a racially segregated and sexist society, because this wasn't just a black movie. This was a woman's movie, too. And if you look at the screenplay as well as the book, it was done by a woman. And so when they said, you're going to do my movie, I want the woman to do this screenplay, and we'll go from there. It wasn't as dark. It wasn't as, you know, how would you say, really racially tension there. But it showed the reality.
Yeah.
It showed that this was reality. They had separate bathrooms. One of the things I found was just so messed up that she couldn't go to the white bathroom. Why? Because they were taught you cannot use, you know, it said colored only.
Right.
And she had to go a mile and a half just to go to the bathroom every day and then come back. And then when Kevin Costner challenged, what are you doing? You know, this is important. And she said, these people were disrespecting me here.
Yep.
They won't even touch the coffee that I have. And I got to run clear across campus just to go to the bathroom.
That's right.
You know, and she was tired. You know, like, you're going to really challenge me and I'm busting my ass to just to get this right?
That's what she said. She said, I work hard.
Mm-hmm. And it was amazing because they knew they had to do that. They knew they couldn't go to the bathroom. They knew they had to deal with that.
Mm-hmm.
But they had the opportunity to contribute and say, this is something I'm going to be proud of. And then I remember even in the Apollo days when I was younger, you know, it didn't matter that everybody I saw on the TV was white. I was proud to see that we went to space.
And that's, you know, they was on the moon. I think that was with everybody because, you know, the curiosity is, wow, we actually are doing this.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's eyes was fixated on the fact that that shit was going straight up into the sky. And you were like,
into the moon.
Yes.
And we went to the moon. We went to here. We went to there. So all of that was like, wow. And it had no color because it was a nation that did that. It wasn't the white people that done it. It was a nation that did it. And the good thing about this movie, that's how they kind of depicted. So when you saw all the African-American people going around the TV or they was downtown looking into the shops, it was all colors and all genders just watching what was going on. And it was an amazing movie because, again, behind all of that were these African-American women that made it happen. Yeah. They made it happen.
Yeah, and I'm like, the one person that I was very impressed with was Mary Jackson when she had to go to the high school.
Yeah, Janelle Monáe.
Yeah.
Yes, she played a really, you know, pretty good role. She played a really good role there. And she had to, petition to go to the high school so she can get the college credits she needed to be an engineer.
Yes, she did. I thought that was just very powerful because her going to the court, you know, telling the judge, hey, you know, it's the first for everything.
Yep, and you can be the first judge that can get the first woman to be an engineer at NASA.
Yeah.
And you was the first at doing all types of things. Why can't you be the first to do this?
Right. And I mean, the women portrayal, like I said, was really amazing. I love the fact that Dorothy was able to not only use her mechanical skills, but also picked up the book at the library and learned the IBM code.
Yeah, that was interesting.
To be able to go in there, learn it. Then when they wasn't around, she was up there taking her time trying to figure this out. Oh, no, this is in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then going through the book and reading it and then be able to play with making sure it runs. And, you know, them white guys was working for IBM still couldn't get the damn.
They said, you need to get those. I know who can fix this. I know who can run it. Except for just saying, we'll figure it out. And because Kevin Costner said, I ain't paying your ass.
None of y'all.
I ain't paying your ass, and I ain't paying none of y'all. And they was like, look, we got to get this right. So, you know, the movie overall didn't have too much, which I really liked too. It didn't have too much sappy, you know, going out there that you have to go, oh, okay, they had to put that in.
Yeah, but
they didn't put it in that her husband died of a tumor.
Right.
They had to show that she was respected and got remarried. That's a good thing. That was a positive thing.
Right,
to see.
But also the fact that the IBM machine was brought in to replace the human computers.
Well, I mean,
because they believed that the computer was going to be much more accurate in its numbers than a human computer, and they realized that it really wasn't.
No, it wasn't, but it could be. So the percentage of everything beside that one, if you get a problem that shows, hey, your calculations are incorrect, that they can actually use the computer to actually get it corrected. So they knew these millions and millions of dollars to get these calculations, it'll work. It actually would work. But, you know, back to what I was saying was, you know, the overall movie itself for trying to get you to center on the math and the aerodynamic deals and all, they still had a human side that showed these two women had husbands that actually supported them. You know, Dorothy Vaughn had her husband, and he just supported her with the kids. Never really seen him, but he showed up.
Yeah.
You had Mary Jackson, had a husband who was a militant. Yeah, white people can't do this. She said, look, I come on there with this. I don't want to hear all of that. But he was there. He supported her. She went to school. He said, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead.
Yeah.
And you had the support of all of this, and you saw the community supporting them. And, you know, could they have shown some other intense racism that was going? Yeah, they could have.
Yeah, but the story wasn't about that.
It's perseverance.
It was, right. It was subtle. Within the movie. It was subtle pieces of it in the movie. Because
it was natural.
Right, and that's what it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. You know, because that's at that time, that was what it was all about. That was the issue.
It was normal.
Yes.
You know, sadly, it was normal that you would go around and you would see the white water fountain, whites only, and the colored only bathroom. I'm not sure about him knocking down the colored only signs. Not sure if that was real or not, but, you know, it gave it an exciting moment. So, you know, Catherine didn't have to run across campus just to go to the bathroom. So that was a good thing. And, you
right.
know, that was actually, you know, in reality, they said that was Mary Jackson. And she wanted to be Well, she didn't really want to be an engineer. There was a scientist that was a Polish
Jew
that actually came in. He was heading that project. And he told her, you can be an engineer. Look at me.
Yep.
And he just pushed her to say,
he sure did.
Stop saying what you can't do. I'm here. Even though he's a white, Jewish, Polish man, he still didn't see that. You know, even though you're an African American woman, you're not able to do that.
Right.
He was like, no, you need to try to do this.
Right.
And right. I thought that was really great as well, because regardless of what people think, all white people don't want black people to fail.
That's right.
So,
you can say that again.
All through our life, we know there's plenty of white people who stepped out, touched us, and said, let me help you.
Yes, right.
So, you know, always look at when you see things like this, you know, always be careful. You know, keep your antenna up. But respect people as they come to you, as opposed to dismissing them because of the color of their skin.
Yep. Because
you know,
I seriously, you know, like we said, Katherine Johnson was amazing. The story, what she's done, her brain.
Yeah, because she done a lot more. She actually worked on, what was the other one that she worked on?
She worked on his, him landing on the moon.
Oh, Neil Armstrong?
Yes.
Yeah, she worked with Neil Armstrong as well as the space shuttle.
Yes, she sure did.
You know, so this woman was, again, she was so amazing. And they didn't want to bog you down with the technical, but you had to know how highly intelligent this woman was. And she showed you, in spite of the obstacles that they did, there's a portion in there that I knew she was going to break through, that they redacted a lot of their reports because she didn't have the correct clearance.
Right.
At first I was like, yo, that's messed up. They're just trying to, you know, keep her away from that. But like you said, Leisha, it was, you don't have the clearance to see this. She didn't have the clearance. And most black people, black women, whoever was working there, they had levels of clearances. And he had to redact that. So she was able to see one portion as she was auditing all these figures.
Yeah, because
she saw it and was like, the Atlas rocket.
Yeah, she's like, gotcha. How can I do anything when you ain't giving me the numbers? And so when she started to realize, she lifted the paper up and said, oh, I can see it.
I can see that.
Now, so, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go ahead and make the numbers until when. And then when they said, well, how did you figure this out? Well, I just put the paper up to the sky.
And then he asked her, are you a Russian spy?
She's like, No.
I'm not even Russian. Then he was like, okay, you got your answer. Give her clearance so she can do that. But they kept restricting her because she was a woman.
Yeah.
Because there was another woman that was working there that had nothing to do with the project other than administration. She was not part of the group. They also had levels that you weren't privy to be around. She wasn't even going to the meetings, but yet every day she had to continue to readjust her numbers because they changed every day.
That's right.
And she was like, look, you the boss. You can put me in there. I can't keep redoing my work over and over and over again. And they made the correction. And it was such an enlightening and empowering movie to say, look at what you can do. Just push.
And you
push.
And one thing is, you know, the one person that I am really impressed with and really just have my heart goes to is John Glenn. To know that he did what he did, you know, to say, oh, I don't trust, it almost like he said, I don't trust none of your white folks or that goddamn computer. Put that girl on them numbers now.
And, you know, and they showed a part that was in there that, you know, again, you know, Hollywood highlights things and kind of pull it to exaggerate. But it was good for, I mean, because Glenn was alive when that was being done.
Yes,
he still had to approve that. But while they was like, greet all the white people, but the black people over there, don't mind them. Let's bypass them and wave and keep going. Glenn was like, look, we got some other people. We got to shake their hands that's over here. He went over where the other astronauts and everyone else didn't.
That's right.
And he wanted to know who the hell they were. And he greeted them with respect.
Yes.
So that, to me, made me like, let me look at to see the other stuff that John Glenn did. Because, to me, that was extraordinary. Because he didn't have to do that.
Back then, he sure didn't.
He did not have to do that. And it was... So, again, it was a feel-good movie all the way around, even though it was doing a time of race segregation.
Yeah. I mean, that to me, when he said that, I will never forget that. And, you know, the one thing that is, to me, is that you have to give a woman an opportunity. There's so many people that really underestimate what a woman can do. I mean, we could do anything we set our minds to, but you have to give us the opportunity. And that's what basically, you know, Glenn said, she already proved to us that she can do it. Shit, give her the numbers. And you know, and that to me was profound because that speaks to so many women who don't get that opportunity, and men feeling, or people in leadership roles feeling, that they don't have the skill set or the ability to do it.
Right. And the thing is, you know, even when you said that opportunity, you know, Tracy Ellis said the same thing when she was getting the Golden Globe this year. And Viola Davis said it last year. All we need is the opportunity. That's all we need. Women need the opportunity. Women of color just need the opportunity. We can actually perform like anybody else.
Sure can.
And this showed the brilliance of what an African-American woman can do. Mm-hmm. The brilliance. Not how smart they were or how savvy or how, you got that old saucy type. Oh, yeah, I'm going to just tell that man. No, these women were intelligent. They were brilliant. And they showed their brilliance without anything else. Like she said, I supposed to be, I got my skirt below my heels. I can't even afford pearls. I got to have this and I got to have that. And y'all going to continue to treat me like this? And I was like, wow. She said, I've done everything, and I'm busting my ass. And you're going to question where I've been when I have to go to the bathroom across campus? And, you know, that was so profound because women today still doing the same thing. They have to do all of that and still perform higher than any man that's unqualified in the position.
Sure do.
Any man that's unqualified in the position. Not applying, but in the position.
Yeah, because there's so many times, you know, I was told that you have to, you know, in this field, in the tech community, Alicia, you have to be better than a black man. And that to me was like, a woman has to be better. You have to prove yourself better than any man. And that's what was so hard to, like, I can't just do just like them. I have to do more.
Well, but that's the same thing with a black man. So a black man still has to be better than a white man. But a black woman have to be better than a white man, a black man, then, and as well as a white woman in order to get that.
Yeah.
So they're down the line, and they have to exceed in order to do that. That's why you have so many African-American women entrepreneurs. Because it's like, if I have to go all of that, then I might as well just make my own job.
And that's how it is. And I mean, that exactly how it is. And it's across the board with a lot of women that feels the same way. Do I have to really, really be at the top? How much do I need to know to get that position? You know, I have to pass 100 plus 150 more. I mean, so you put somebody on the spot like that, again, with Hidden Figures, these women were, you know, performing at, you know, they were better than the men. Mm. And the men still didn't want to accept the fact that they were better than them, you know? until they realized
we needed them.
I don't know what's your problem. She got the numbers right, didn't she? Yep.
Give her what she need. Because they had a mission, and the mission was to get a man in space.
Yep.
And if that African-American woman right there who knows everything that we need to get done and she can get us there, then you need to help her to get us there.
Yep.
He told that guy that was in charge, your job is to find the smartest person to get us the information we need
That's right.
We can do it. That's what your job is.
That's right.
And then without telling him, you need to let that black woman do what she needs to do. He just said, the smartest person, and I'm not telling you who the smartest person is, because if you find somebody other than her, that's still just as good.
That's right.
But I'm telling you, if it's only her, you need to be dealing with that.
Yeah, because, I mean, you could just imagine, and she got to see the movie, and, you know, it's like her brain, you know, the numbers that she has to go through in her brain, you know, because it's just, that's what she sees.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. And so, and it was interesting, you know, the fact that her family actually traveled, what was it, 150 miles?
Yeah, 100, yeah, about 120, 150 miles for her to go to that high school.
Yeah, just for her to go to high school. And they did it, her father did it for, I think it was 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
He did it for 8 years traveling.
And he did it for all his children.
Yeah.
But she was the one that they knew was going to be something.
Yeah, he said he traveled, their family traveled 120 miles each year so that she and her siblings could continue their education.
Yep.
And that was her start. It's because of her, her siblings was able to get a better education.
Yep.
So they
rode that mm-hmm. to the success for the family. And it was just amazing to, you know, see how clearly this child was gifted. They all knew this woman, this child was mm-hmm. gifted. And she sat in the back area on campus that no one really understood her brilliance until they needed her. Yep. You know, except for saying, let's find the best candidate to get this done. When Costner actually said, we need to find whoever to do theoretical geometry and blah, blah, blah. She said, yeah, I've done it all. And he was like, okay, get it done.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they just never looked to African-Americans to give them that equal thoughts and processing like they're just used to.
Right.
But they knew the mission was to get a man in space and beat the Russians.
And that's true. But also, a lot of people don't understand. It wasn't just, I said this before a little bit earlier, but it was not only color computers, there were women computers. There were other women that had helped the NASA get a lot of spaceships or a lot of things created, even in the military. There were women helping the military, making things happen. So the thing is that it's there, but the history was never put out there where they're making movies about it. They really haven't. So to speak that, now that we're hearing about the color computers, I'm thinking about, so what other information, what other stuff are people going to learn about what women has done for their government,
mm-hmm.
you know, and why is it hidden? Or not being pushed out there to give them, to acknowledge, to give these people the acknowledgement that women can make a change.
So one of the reasons, and I think you know it, but I'll just say it for you, but the people who holds the purse strings are the men. So if men feel that, I don't want to hear about a story with these women, who's going to watch that? You idiot. Women will.
Yep.
And if you look at the percentage of the people who's going to the movies, the higher percentage are women. So you're not even capitalizing on the market that you actually have. This movie beat out Star Wars.
Yep, it sure
Star
did.
Wars should have continued to dominate for the next 2 to 3 weeks. But it was in less theaters than Star Wars.
That's right.
So think about that. You have about 2,700 and they beat out Star Wars, and Star Wars had about 4,000. And then it still beat it in money because Star Wars is still in the IMAX theaters. So that's a higher rate per ticket than actually Hidden Figures was. So, and they still beat them. So this is something to the point of like The Help. You know, people saw that and was like, no, that's just an amazing movie. You need to see that. And it's funny that the same person that was on there, you know, who played, what's her name, Vaughn?
Yes.
I forgot her name. She won for actually Octavia Spencer. She won for The Help. And she was nominated for the Golden Globe for Dorothy Vaughn in the movie as well. So this woman is just an amazing actress, and she showed the tenacity and the ability to pull people together, and that's why I think she stood out. Even though Taraji Henson played a really good role, I think Octavia just stood out. She really stood out because of what she did.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even though Taraji was, you know, the Katherine Johnson character was the most brilliant in the movie, you know, Octavia was like, look, I'm going to hook up all my girls. And she made sure of that.
Yeah, she did. Because if you're in, if you're in that community or in the tech community, you know how hard it is to say, well, it's all about me in the tech community. When you know that there's so many other women having a disadvantage of not being, getting that job they need to get or that opportunity. And she did exactly what a lot of women are trying to do right now, is let's make sure we can get all women connected up who have the talent in tech. Let's get them in there in tech. Let's get them in these jobs in tech.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what, you know, she did back then, and there's a lot of communities, women communities that's trying, the tech communities that are trying to do it now. And those tech communities of women are growing in huge, huge numbers. They are growing, and they're women who say, I want to be in the tech community, and what do I do to get into tech? And there are people out there helping them to do that. And so she was that warrior. Because mm-hmm. She was like, okay, I got you. Okay, girls, this is what we're going to do. We're going to sit up here and we're going to learn this code. Do y'all want to code? Do you want to learn this? Or do y'all want to keep doing what you're doing now? That dumb women dropped their books and started learning it.
Yep. And but so, she knew because she was a leader.
Yep.
You know, that's why I gave her so much credit. I mean, and I can understand that. She was that leader. She showed that. I'm going to make sure... You wouldn't make me the supervisor, but I'm doing the supervisor duty.
That's right.
You know, she made sure that these women was getting the assignments that they needed to get and to keep them all together. I mean, in reality, did that happen? We don't know that. We weren't there. But in order for these women to be successful, she had to be doing something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they made her the supervisor. They didn't make anybody else.
Yep.
She was the first African-American woman supervisor in NASA. So,
well, the movie was amazing, and the ending was exactly what it's supposed to be, which is they hire her on,
mm-hmm.
and she then stayed there till 1986 at NASA mm-hmm. with the space shuttle.
I think it was not. I'm not sure. Yeah, because Obama gave her, President Obama gave her a Medal of Honor or something like that.
Yeah. I think if I read correctly, I think she stayed there until 1986. And she's the only one still alive. And she's still married to her husband, her second husband, who was, Lieutenant Colonel? Yeah, he was a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserves, I believe. So, at the end, you heard that they basically just said, Katherine Johnson, how long she was there, and she stayed to help them with other missions. Dorothy Vaughn, who was the supervisor, also was able to work with the IBM stuff. and brung in, they, what they, she had to manage, I think, was 30 people for the IBM. Mm-hmm. And then Mary Jackson still became the engineer for NASA. So it was an amazing story. I think that all women should see this. As far as young girls, I can say that they can see it, but I don't think they will actually relate.
Well, you don't know that. I mean, the thing is, there's so many young girls out here who don't even see what career that they're getting into. This may show that it's actually, how do you say, mathematics. But in order to get into coding and programming,
I think that if they,
you don't know that young women don't want to code or get into this kind of field.
Well, see, the thing is that I see this is that if you take a group of girls to go see it and then later on sit down and discuss it with them to make them to see if they understand, to see if they understand if what these women were doing and how powerful these women were. And that's the one thing that I think that is discussing it with them. Just don't let them go see it. Sit down and discuss it with them because you want them to make sure, do they absorb it or understand what they were seeing?
Okay, I got you. So that was Hidden Figures. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed Hidden Figures. That was a really outstanding movie. So if you go out and you looking what's on the list, there's a lot of movies that's out. We still want to see Fences with Viola Davis and Denzel Washington. So I really, really want to see that. So that's on the agenda as well. But this was the one that I really, because we're into tech, and I really wanted to get our hands on this one so we can do an actual review on that on the podcast. But really, really good. You need to go see it. It's really worth it. You know, Taraji Henson played great. Octavia Spencer, Janae Monáe was really, really good.
And she's so cute and adorable. I swear she is. And she's making a name for herself in movies now.
So, I mean, she's showing up. I think she's in, what's the other movie?
What's the name of that movie?
I forget. I'm so sorry. But it's called Moonlight.
Yes, she's in that one, too.
She's in that one as well. So you have these characters that's kind of showing up and making a name for themselves. So pretty much worth it. Take a look if you can. And that's Hidden Figures, not Hidden Fences. You know, so ignorant. But thank you. Check us out at dreadlockconnoisseur.com. What is it? Women, Coffee, and Tech?
Oh, you are so bad.
What is it?
It's Coffee Women, and Tech. You can follow me on Twitter on Fine, FINEBLK, woman, on Twitter. And again, you know, don't forget to go see it. I think it's well worth you going to see it and investing into something, and you'll never get it out of your head. I really won't.
Very good movie.
Yeah, I cried. I cried. Sorry. I'm sorry, ladies. I cried.
So, great movie. Enjoy. Thank you for the time, and we'll see you soon on Urban Lifestyle Cafe.
Bye.